Thank you all for registering for this webinar produced by InsideARM.com. Our hope is to get through as many of your questions, those pre-submitted and those asked during the webinar, as we can in the time we have together. And to give you a better idea of who we are, I'd like to take a moment to introduce you to today's attorney panelists. There you can hear some of them right now, like they're animals in a zoo. Don Maurice is a partner at Maurice and Needleman PC with offices in Pennsylvania, New Jersey. He regularly defends FDCPA, TCPA, FCRA, and UDAAP in both individual and class actions. He served as amicus counsel in the recently decided Supreme Court FDCPA case Marks versus General Revenue. You can read Don's blog at consumerfsblog.com or follow him on Twitter at DSMaurice. John Rossman is a shareholder and chair of the Creditors Remedies Practice Group at Moss & Barnett. Mr. Rossman defends FDCPA and related cases nationwide. He is the co-host of the collection industry podcast, The Debt Collection Drill, featured here on Inside ARM. He's also a frequent writer and lecturer on debt collection issues. Rossman is good on licensing as well as operational questions and compliance issues. John Bedard is the managing attorney of Bedard Law Group PC, located in Atlanta, Georgia. John represents creditors and collection agencies nationwide, helping them stay in compliance with state and federal law. He also manages the nationwide litigation for several collection agencies and focuses his litigation practices on FDCPA, TCPA, and FCRA defense. Any problem if we program our dialer to send all voicemails to another dialer to call and leave our CID only and hang up?
Well, first of all, Mike, I'd like to thank you for an Inside ARM for taking the time to organize this event. It's a great opportunity for everyone here to learn and to exchange some information. So thank you for all your hard work behind the scenes to make this happen today. The question, and I have it written down in front of me, I'm not sure if all the folks on the call can see the question, but the question is whether a collection agency can program the dialer to send all voicemails to another dialer to call and leave only the caller ID information and then hang up. In essence, I think what the question is asking, and if the person who asked the question, if I get it wrong, just shoot a comment in the comment box and I'll get it right. But I think the question is whether or not, in essence, you can call and not leave a message. And, you know, certainly we're going to talk a lot today about FODI, Zortman. We're going to talk about the FTC consent order that NCO entered into and some of the language in there. But as far as calling and not leaving a message, generally this is an acceptable approach. The one concern that I have is, as the questioner points out, is whether or not just having the caller ID information constitutes a communication. Certainly I think there's courts that would rule that it isn't, because there's simply not enough information there to deem it a communication. That being said, I know we were kicking this around just before the presentation this afternoon. We were kicking around the fact that there have been some cases out of, I believe it was Connecticut, that held that just calling and hanging up with the caller ID information being displayed could be deemed a communication requiring a mini Miranda. So the long answer to the short question is it depends on which judge and which jurisdiction you're in, but generally I would take the position that that is not a communication, just transmitting information over the caller ID. However, like I said, there are some courts that have ruled otherwise. And one other disclaimer I'd like to add on behalf of all the panelists is that we're going to opine on issues. We're going to talk about issues. We're going to wax philosophical. But certainly myself or any one of the other panelists here may make a statement or take a position that might be contrary to something, a position that we're taking in a case that might be currently pending or a case that might come up in the future. So I just want to be clear that anything we say today, this is just us talking. This isn't, you know, absolutely the way the world works. We're doing this for a very specific purpose, which is to talk about and come up with ideas. But certainly nothing that I say here today or any of the other panelists say here today should be construed or used in a court of law as being a proclamation for how any one of us thinks the law is on any particular issue, or should preclude us from being able to argue something contrary to what we're saying here today.
This is Don Maurice, and good afternoon, everyone, except to those, I guess, in Pacific, where it's still morning. But, you know, John Rossman, you do mention a few bad cases. I call them bad cases, and there are bad decisions on not leaving a message. Yeah, they do come from early from Connecticut. Unanswered phone calls, at least calls in which the debt collector's name and telephone number appear on the consumer's caller ID, were found to be communications in case Serato versus Solomon and Solomon in 2012. There was a case out of Minnesota in I believe 2007, Knoll versus yep. Allied Interstate. No message left, but the key there was the caller ID was found to be a false identification. So the court there said it was sufficient to state a claim. Didn't
but
say.
But keep in mind, Don, with the Knoll case, as I recall, the caller ID stated that the call was coming from like Mary Smith.
Yeah.
So the
yeah.
caller ID, yeah. the caller ID transmitted false information, and I think that was the distinction there. Was that was almost a caller ID spoofing. This back before I think the phrase caller ID spoofing was even in the lexicon. That's what that case is about, and certainly we've had federal law that addresses the issue of that since that Knoll case back in the last decade.
Yeah, and then there's I call it, this is like the dreadnought of bad cases when you leave no message, and that's Sussman versus mm-hmm. IC Systems. That came from over here in the Southern District of New York just March of this year. And again, it's not a dispositive case in that it doesn't decide whether or not it's a violation. It was only deciding whether or not it would be sufficient to survive a motion for what we call judgment on the pleadings. But what the court said there was that no message was left and the calls were terminated either prior to or as soon as the voicemail answered the call. And the court found that it did state a claim for various violations of the FDCPA. And one that bothered me particularly was that the court there said it stated a claim for a violation of E11. And, you know, you have to wonder, guys, if a call is terminated prior to anyone answering or a voicemail picking up, how possibly can you leave an E11 disclosure? And that's why, you know, some of these cases, I just call them bad, bad decisions.